Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode number 20. This is our Thanksgiving special. We ask you to respect the laws, drink responsibly, and especially around the holidays, don't go doing something stupid. For those in other countries, like Frölicha Ernte Dankfest and all the happy thanks for festivals and whatever you guys are celebrating for religion, maybe not religion, maybe it's just because you built a city or you discovered a new country and you think it's a great time. This is the podcast to cover all the good things that happen, at least this month, for us.
So we're not going to be talking about oppressing Native people or anything.
No, we're going to avoid the annoying. Yeah, we're going to...
Let's talk about near genocide. Yay.
Well, now I almost...
I'll drink for that.
I almost near genocided my drink all over myself. That would have been bad.
Wouldn't it be cool if we just shipped them off to their own little like reservation or something?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Let's celebrate. Cheers.
Cheers, ding. Virtual cheers. Anyway, so I'm your host, Derek Schomer, and I have with me today Doug and Dave, and we're celebrating our givings of thanks. Really, there's really always a reason to celebrate when it comes to drinking, and we celebrate as often as possible. This is just a really good excuse. So I think what we decided to do, and this is more like me deciding to do it because I was looking for content. I was trying to get everybody involved, but we couldn't get everybody short time of the season or hard time to get everybody together this season. And people are like working and going to meetings and stuff on the weekends, mainly Luke. And Kate couldn't make it. So we're doing this like the I think it's kind of new school, old school. For a while, we were without the woman. So we were doing us just the trio. So I guess it's kind of like going back a few episodes, and we got a whole weird lineup of stuff to drink. I think the goal was, what would you or do you drink during the holiday season, mainly for this time, Thanksgiving? What's going to maybe pair good with turkey or pair good with dealing with relatives you don't normally like to see? That was a big, I guess you'd call it a subject matter around work. I was, you know, talking to people, asking them, hey, what do you guys do for Thanksgiving? And a lot of people had the, yeah, I'm going to drink a lot before everybody shows up so that I can handle it. Now, I guess I don't come from... I mean, Doug, I don't think we ever had that. I mean, we drink a lot on our family occasions, but never because we're trying to, I think, get over the drama or anything.
No. Drinking was definitely to enhance our enjoyment of each other more.
Yeah. Nobody has like a drunk old Paul or something like that?
No.
Evenly. We've never had anybody, you know, do something like come out of the closet or something exciting like that.
No. And no fights. No real... No, we have people in the family that don't always get along, like anybody and my father. My father has no problem telling anybody to fuck off. But overall, you know, and everybody takes it pretty well. You know, he likes the people he likes. And, you know, definitely with my father and your uncle, they've always get around good. This is some people in the family which, you know, they show up and nobody has a problem with it. They're just not the most well-received people, I guess. But I have, see, on my wife's side of the family, man, it's different. Like, it's out there. We do have a drunk Dan who, when he has few too many, he's the guy that says the awkward things. Like, usually sexually related with
hey,
younger people.
Hey, who else is in a 14-year-old?
Exactly. No, seriously, like, oh, yeah, I take two of those, and you're like, first off, you're married. Second off, your 20-year-old daughter's standing next to you. Third off, everybody's silent because they don't know what to say. You know, you're like, I think the girl you're pointing to that you take two of is probably younger than your daughter. Chill. But, you know, and it's something he wouldn't do normally sober. I don't really see him sober very often. He warms up before parties start. So it's all downhill right away. But I think overall, everybody seems to be pretty good. But I have heard a lot of people say, yeah, I just drink a lot so that I can make it through because everybody's coming over. I'm like, well, this is for you then. What I've got today, is I went with two separate genres of alcohol. Two things that I don't think we cover very often on the podcast. I did the eggnog and brandy. Now, we did a brandy.
Wait a minute. Isn't that more of like a Christmas thing for most people?
No. You know why? It is. It definitely tastes a lot like Christmas, but here's the deal. Eggnog is really only popular this time of year, right? It came out a couple weeks ago. I noticed it start to really populate. They already have all the flavored eggnogs out. Now, if you think about it, eggnog probably wouldn't settle too well in the shelves from 3 weeks ago all the way to Christmas. So I'm figuring it's there for a reason. It's there for me to buy.
You know what? I'm into the nog. I hear you. I just think of it more as a Christmas thing. Speaking of which, we're doing a Thanksgiving episode, but we're kind of a small family here tonight. So maybe we should try to pull everyone in for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Get all the you know, get Kate back, get Luke in, get maybe even Zach if we can pull him in.
Yeah, like we could try. We'll have to plan it in advance, mainly because Christmas could be a hectic time.
Absolutely.
But I think Zach is going to be around. I think he'll be in the neighborhood around here, I would hope, for Christmas, since that's where his family is.
Or if Christmas isn't doable, we can always do a pre-New Year's, New Year's.
True. We could do a pre-New Year's, New Year's around Christmas. We could even do a post-Christmas, pre-New Year's, post-New Year's if we have to. I mean, there's all kinds of potential.
Yeah, that's crazy talk.
Definitely. So we did do a whole Brandy episode,
I got time
right?
warped.
You did. Yeah. Well, you'll be here too. So, you know, in the best possible scenario, if the stars were aligned, we could do a whole live thing with everybody. All yeah. like within the flesh. But that comes down to how many places Doug gets pulled to, I think.
I'd like to minimize the amount of flesh that you're showing, though.
Oh, I'll wear a sweatshirt.
Okay.
Me?
Without pants.
Oh, no, yeah. Doug, you can work your thong again. That's cool.
Yeah, because, I mean, Doug has so much freaking body hair. It looks like he walks around with sweatpants on anyway, nude.
Oh, yeah, totally. Dude, but get this. Like, my wife thinks I'm thinning.
Why? Because you shaved your hair?
No, she doesn't think that I'm as hairy.
Oh,
you know,
from
the waist down anymore.
I've seen Rogaine for backs.
No, you don't want back hair.
I have seen that.
Wait, Rogaine grows
no,
hair.
I don't have any back hair. It's like it's waist down.
Yeah,
that's where
it's really weird.
All my hair is.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're just tuning into the podcast, welcome to Doug's giving a little too much information.
Yeah, if anyone just threw up in their mouth, you can drink now.
All right, I'm drinking. Anyway, back
good
to
luck getting
aisle.
That thought out of your head.
I'm going to work on it here. Back to my eggnog. I think eggnog is a good holiday tradition from Thanksgiving on to Christmas because it's available in any excuse I have to have it, I will. And I don't know. I think it pairs good with turkey and eggnog.
It does. The only problem is it's like 9,000 calories an ounce. You know.
Yeah, I know. That's why I have a small. I think it's a 6 ounce old fashioned glass or a lowball glass. So I think that should cover me there. And I probably put equal parts brandy. I have the Christian Brothers brandy. It's a VS, very smooth, which I believe was the one I used in episode 2. Now we're at episode 20. We're actually cranking along.
That's crazy. We're at 20.
I know. It's sick. Wow.
Who would have guessed?
Dude, I love eggnog and brandy, and I'm so with you on having it on Thanksgiving, but in no way, shape, or form should that beverage go anywhere near consuming any kind of food.
Yeah. No, I normally there's two places for it, really. It's an after dinner food, maybe, you know, after you have a dessert or whatnot, or maybe a cookie or some pie. But I typically start with it. Like it's when I go over anybody's house or if they come over here, I usually start with the eggnog, mainly because do you ever notice how long it takes for people to actually serve dinner? Like you get there. And things never happen on time, right? So it's always 2 hours after you get there, unless you show up late. So the eggnog kind of helps kind of settle your stomach and fills it for a little bit so you're not, like, growling going and then going through all the other 1,000-calorie snack foods they have there. So it serves a second purpose. I also then, with dinner, usually go with, if it's not a beer, which I mentioned this about beer. I'm not a big fan of drinking beer with dinner. Unless it pairs really, really well. The wine tends to work a little better because it actually does change the flavors of the wine. So what I did is I wanted to get a red wine. I was going to get a Gewürztraminer because I did actually get one. I went down to the grocery store the other day and they had... I'm going to go here from now on whenever I have to get wine. First off, they had port. Fucking wish I had that place the other day or last podcast because I could have got all kinds of ports and sherries. And this week they had 4 wine tasting people there, and they were going through the wines and letting you taste some Riesling. So I got a Riesling and I got a Gewürztraminer, and I'm gonna bring those to Thanksgiving. And so I've got that. So what I did is I got the Bordeaux. Now this is I don't know how to say the last name, but let's just say is Jean-Philippe. It's a 2006 Bordeaux, and product of France. I've never had a Bordeaux, so that's different. Like I've had Merlot, which is the same really. But I wanted the French version because I know it's going to taste different. It's a little more old world, a little more dirt and soily rather than the high fruits and the plums and the cherries. So I had to try it. It's good for your palate. And
nice.
So I went with that. To me, Bordeaux is more elegant than a Merlot, because everybody has Merlot. What did you end up with, Doug?
Two things. Fetzer 2006 Gewürztraminer and the Omegang Abbey Ale. I guess that's how you pronounce it, Omegang. That's how I always say it. Anybody? Omegang?
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 I think it's made in New York or whatever, but I think it's a German recipe, right?
Yeah, Belgian. It is produced in New York.
Because there's lots of Abbeys there.
They do. Well, I will say that they do an adequate, if not commendable, job in making the Belgian ales. I do enjoy their products.
They are good. Is this a 4-pack? Oh, well, you probably bought a 20, right? Or bigger?
Yeah, I bought the pint plus 9 ounce.
That's one of the things I like about them.
750.
Because they have so many different variable sizes that you could buy it in. And they're usually available around here and down there, like pretty easy, as opposed to some of the Abbey ales where it's like, oh, this is a great Abbey ale. You're like, well, where the hell do I get it? Do I have to go to Belgium? Do I have to actually go to the Abbey? No, I don't want to do that.
You actually have to become a monk to drink properly.
So 35 years later.
Awesome.
It's cool. I mean, you get to shave your head and wear a robe, so it's all good.
That's true.
And you get to, like, be all celibate and shit.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did that kill it for you?
I was good with the robe and the shaven head, but yeah.
Well, you know, can you reclaim it? If you go around whoring yourself for a couple years, then you claim, you know, you want to become a reborn or born again virgin, you could do that, and then go and be a monk.
Hey, priests get away with it with little boys. So.
Right. You just got to comb out the crabs. Right. Wow. Hey, speaking of priests, Dave, what did you bring to the table?
So I was thinking about Thanksgiving as this holiday where I eat to a point where I'm just about going to be sick, and then I have a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's all just like heavy, like turkey and gravy and stuffing and lots of, it's good stuff, you know, but it's pretty heavy. So I'm like, all right, what am I going to drink? What am I going to try that I can possibly fill in the little nooks and crannies of this with?
Right.
And I was thinking, all right, what do you cut grease with when you're cleaning? Well, citrus, right?
True. Yeah, palm olive. It softens hands while it does dishes.
Right, but I don't want to drink palm olive. I had a bad experience with it one time. So, oh, yeah. Now I'm thinking, okay, well, I've been meaning to try limoncello.
Okay.
So what I did was I got some Sogno.
Is this the first time you've had limoncello?
You know, I've had it before, but I figured I'd give it a good run this time. So I got this local place in Boston as the importer for it. They're in the North End, and you can actually go to their storefront and buy this stuff there. But they make a limoncello and a mandocello, which is like an orange version of limoncello.
Ooh, like mandarin?
Yeah.
Tasty, dude.
Yeah, interesting. So I figured I'd give that a shot.
Suck down some mandarin oranges. Oh yeah.
That's a neon orange looking one, right?
It's clear, actually.
Is it?
This is clear, yeah.
Holy crap. So it's artificial flavors and color?
Nope.
No? Real color?
It has to do with the way that it's made. I'll talk about that when we get into the review stuff.
Okay. That's
normally
cool.
We do Metaxa during Thanksgiving. I don't know if you know that.
That sounds like a disease. Mm-hmm.
Metaxa is like a Greek brandy. Which is interesting considering we're not Greek.
You're not Greek.
No. Nope.
But if you were, you'd be all over this Metaxa stuff.
Hey, it also goes back to the point where the first instrument that I learned how to play was a mandolin, and I learned how to play Greek music on it.
Mandolin?
Again,
mandocello? Whoa, I get it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Mandocello, mandolin, Greek. Mm-hmm. Wow.
There's a theme. I don't know what it is, but there's a theme.
Greek Thanksgiving. I don't know what they say there, but... Feeling donk. No, wait, that wouldn't work. Just the first thing that came out of my head. Many thanks? I don't know.
That's pretty much how you operate, though, isn't it? Yeah. Whatever the first thing comes out of your head.
Yeah, normally it's English, though.
Sling!
Sling! You see, that's a product of my imagination. Oh, man, I'm never going to live that down. So what do we, you know, before we get into that, I just wanted to do like a little about, since we normally cover history or making of whatever it is we're drinking, I could do the making of Bordeaux. I could do the making of Christian Brothers Brandy. We've done that. Even any of the ones you guys have. But what's Thanksgiving? I figured everybody thinks they know what Thanksgiving is, and probably a lot of us do. Probably we know Thanksgiving better, when it is, when it started. We could probably rattle that information off faster than we can rattle off who was the 35th president, which is good because I don't know. I just picked that number out of my head. Whoever it is.
The 31st?
Sure, the 31st. That'll work.
I'm gonna say Eisenhower or Truman.
31st.
I'm gonna say that was rhetorical, but
oh, hold.
It's actually Hoover, but that's okay.
Was it Hoover?
Yeah.
Damn, it was Hoover.
My Google powers are faster than yours.
Apparently.
So anyway, this is our celebration, at least in the United States. It's kind of an annual harvest festival. Even though I don't know if we're really harvesting anything anymore, I guess realistically, harvesting comes first. You can't celebrate before or in the middle of harvest because then harvesting would never get done. So you harvest, then you party, and you eat all the stuff you harvested. Some of it, at least. You want to live over the winter. Thanksgiving is a celebration that is said to go back to 1565 or 1621, depending on whose version you believe. I'd be curious to know what your wife thinks is the right date for Thanksgiving is, because this is like some historic issue where people think there was two places. It was either St. Augustine, Florida, back in 1565. They say that's where the first Thanksgiving took place. Like myself, I'm going to go with what most people believe holds true, is 1621 celebration, Plymouth Plantation, bitches, Massachusetts. It's pretty close to where we are, so I would go with that one based on the fact that it's closer to where I live.
I think she is of the taking place in Virginia camp. I'm not familiar with the date, but she is in the Virginia camp, not Florida. Nor. Damn it. That's how you share Thanksgiving.
I mean, I didn't mean to
utter
originated, like that.
But, yeah. It originates in Virginia.
I actually, you know what? Hold that for later, because there's a myth about the fact that the Mayflower headed to Virginia, and I'm sure your wife would be all over that. And basically what it comes down to is define Virginia, right? States back then were a lot bigger. So you can miss Virginia and still be in Virginia because it's so freaking big. But that's something different. So for this, like 200 years ago, if we go by the date that I say is Massachusetts, we'll call Massachusetts Virginia. It just call it whatever. President Abraham Lincoln declared the final Thursday in November as the National Day of Thanksgiving. Congress finally made Thanksgiving Day an official holiday in 1941. It took that long realistically, they had to pick a date. I mean, does it really matter? Nobody's going to remember what day some people who were barely, you know, they were hoping to make it through winter. they weren't really thinking about, hey, let's make a holiday out of this.
I think it's great that they just happened to pick like the day before Black Friday.
I think I'm thinking that was a product of the day. Maybe.
So what were the malls like back in those days?
Dude, they were all lining up. They were
spread out.
Yeah. There was like a spinning wheel that had some yarn and maybe later on a printing press. And that's where everybody was like, I want some ink. I don't know. What do you shop for?
No, you know what it is, though? They probably gave away the printing press or like at a really cheap rate, but the ink was super expensive.
Like they foreclosed on it?
Like inkjets today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There's always a hook.
There is. It's like the razor blade problem. Dude, why is that? I buy a $4 razor blade and it costs me $16.99 for like 5 blades. That drives me nuts.
It drives me nuts too. I bought razor blades the other day. I got 8 of them. Oh. And it was like,
you took out a mortgage?
I felt like I needed to. It was like $24 for an 8-pack.
I know.
It was like, dude, if I enjoyed shaving, so be worth it.
Right, I know.
But I don't. That's I absolutely hate doing it, and then I have to pay out the ass to do it.
And we're paying for like 15 blades per, though, right?
Okay. So
the new ultra mega quattro.
It's not my problem that they need to pack in 16 blades to do what should be done in one. Just sharpen one blade better. Why do you need 16 of them? Or 4 or whatever.
I just use a rusty butter knife. I'm a real man.
I smell tangent.
That was you.
Oh yeah, okay, that was my fault.
Yeah,
I didn't bring up razors. You did.
No, you brought up.
Regardless.
Yeah. Anyway.
I just thought it was funny the coincidence that they happened to pick the day before Black Friday for Thanksgiving.
I know.
Thought that was a very funny coincidence. Anyway,
and I've never seen any African Americans dancing
Thursday.
What?
Why a Thursday?
Because then you get Friday off. Duh.
Then they should have made both days a fucking holiday, because if they did, my ass wouldn't be working on Friday.
You're working on Friday.
I'm working on Friday.
Dude.
A lot of people have to, believe it or not.
Why?
Yep.
Why?
Because everybody else is taking the fucking day off.
So why do you? You're a financial institution.
Stock market's open, right?
It's open and somebody's got to be around.
Stock market's open? Somebody screwed that plan up. Man.
Dude, that's why I'm saying Thursday, bad idea.
So it should be. Well, anyway. You know what, though? There is one thing I like about Thanksgiving is the fact that it's always on that third Thursday. Because I hate the fact that, you know, sometimes Christmas is on a Monday. Suck. Sometimes it's on a Thursday or Friday. Awesome. And then it's on a Saturday. You're like, well, I'm already off on Saturday. I don't want to have it on a Saturday. I want to have it like, so I want it in the middle of the week so that I could take the 2 weeks, like even on a Wednesday. Then I could take Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday off. If it's on Saturday, I'm going to get one free Monday off. But I want more vacation to be like in the middle that I don't have to spend as much. Put a couple floaters in there.
So what's the difference between Thursday and Friday? I want to get off the subject. It's just getting me mad.
Wait, and this is a time to say thank you for harvesting and stuff.
Yeah,
and going
thanks
to the grocery
for fucking
store.
Me over, American government, picking Thursday for a national holiday, assholes.
But think of all
anyway,
the...
Anyway, thankful.
Think about all the... You have to thank the people who made your frozen peas, who made your, I don't know, your stuffing and your canned cranberry sauce, because that's a Massachusetts product. Cranberry sauce, come on. Did you see
oh,
my...
Yeah.
I did two videos this week. Both were Thanksgiving specials. One was actually called the Thanksgiving special, and the other one was the gobbletini. It's a type of martini with cranberry sauce. Cranberry juice and some cranberry vodka. Yeah.
No, I need to go watch those.
So I know you've got a good microphone and good camera. I think you need to do a video that is just opening a can of cranberry sauce and capturing the sound that it makes as it slides out. there's nothing else like that.
Dude, that would go viral.
Yeah, it's like it's,
and
it's
my family, I mean, we, you know, being who we were, we would just serve it like that. Can't shape at all.
In the can shape. See, we've always
That's
cut
awesome.
It up like a loaf of bread. So that at least you have it.
You cut your own at my house. You just put out the can shape thing, and you know, you pick which end of the can you want to start with, and you go for it.
You cut it with a fork, too. You don't have knives. So you always get shaped, weird shaped cuts because the fork is bent. Yeah, I know how it is. Yeah, I do. I think there might be some flashbacks in my heyday of Thanksgivings where there was the full can shape, even the outside rim of the little edges, like the little ruffles in the corners.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. That's how white trash are you, Dave?
I'm so white trash.
Hey, Doug, I have a question about your Gewurz demeanor. Do you have that open?
As a matter of fact, I do. Yes.
Okay. I want your opinion of the Gewurz, but first, do you drink it cold or do you drink it room temperature?
Cold.
Oh, really?
Cold.
See, yeah.
Should I have it room temperature?
I always drink them room temperature. I think they taste better. I don't drink Chardonnay, so I don't know. But I did that with the last one. Well, it was in my wine refrigerator, but once I took it out, I mean, it's not freezing. So I took that out, and why did I just get a JPEG or something?
Oh, nice.
Let me see what this is.
No, it's a picture of a can.
Oh, nice can of cranberry sauce, but in an elegant manner.
What's great is they have it on the plate with a slice taken off the end, and they put a little bit of garnish on it.
Yep. Yeah, when you garnish the can, that's awesome. That's fucked up.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is so fucking ridiculous. Every bit of that photo is just ridiculousness.
Yeah.
So, like, you notice the fine china, right? And then the crystal glassware in the back.
And the can-shaped cranberry sauce.
Fucking, yeah, fucking gold-rimmed china, and then the cranberry sauce.
In a can, the can, not the can, but the can shape.
With the can, the rings on them. That's so hot.
Two slices.
It makes me want to just, like, pick it up and slam into my mouth. Like, oh! Oh! Sophistication.
You know what, though, man? When it comes down to it, I actually like canned cranberry sauce.
No, seriously. Okay, for my Thanksgiving, there's two things that I will not give up. Now, that's not to say I won't go over your house, but I won't be as impressed. And this is one of the reasons I like to do Thanksgiving at my family's house instead of my wife's. We do all-American box-style stuffing, right? It's the Stouffer's. Boom! You throw it in a some water. You let that stuff rise. You're good. I like Stouffer stuffing. What I don't like is all the sausage stuffing and the other weird stuffings that everybody makes, and like homemade stuffings that taste like a hamburger. That's not stuff. I don't know. I don't like this. I like the classic stuffing. Now, usually there's like somebody brings their own, but there's also classic stuffing. I only take that. I like the bread stuffing, just regular old, I don't know, seasoned bread stuffing.
I remember eating this stuffing one time that was really, really good. And I was totally digging it, and then I found out what was in it,
Stouffer?
And I didn't dig it so much anymore.
Rabbit?
Now, you know how when you cook a turkey, there's all the stuff inside?
The bag?
They call it something clever like giblets or something?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like the giblets. Neck and shit. Yeah, well.
You mean the tasty bits?
Well, basically, they chop all those bits up and mix them in with the stuffing, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Those are the tasty parts.
It tastes good, but I don't know.
That's, yeah.
Well, you were enjoying it until you realized what you're eating.
Yeah, which happens to me a lot with like Chinese food too, so I should just get used to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to your place on the food chain, sir.
Nothing like a turkey neck to really get
so
you going.
Do you guys have any people in the family that do things that are like they don't have turkey for Thanksgiving, they have ham or whatever?
I think I think we've had both. Like, I think for Thanksgiving, Doug, is it that? No, it's Christmas where we do like roast beef, turkey, and crab or lobster. Lobster cakes.
Yeah, the lobster souffle dish things.
Yeah.
That, God, those things are good shit.
For some reason, I picture at some point having ham and being disappointed.
And deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs, yep.
Aw, yeah.
But I don't think I've ever had. I've had places where they've had ham and they've had turkey, but I don't know if I've been to any celebrations where it was just ham. I would be disappointed because I am not a ham eater.
Do you guys do fried turkeys?
Occasionally, I've had it before, but not for Thanksgiving.
I don't count since I was there when we've done fried turkeys, which by the way. Best style turkey. When I was thinking of a fried turkey, the first thing I thought of is like, what do you call it? Like, not good. Like, very oily and almost like fried chicken or fried anything, right? Fried things tend to be kind of just dripping with stuff. And fried turkey's not. It's moist. It's like turkey. It's just because none of the oils get into the turkey. They're all crisp, the skin, and then everything's happy, and it all just jumps around in your mouth. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what makes it so good, man, but that's probably the best turkey.
It's because it flash fries outside, and then it keeps all the juices in, and then as long as you inject the stuff with the appropriate spice mixture, then it's always going to be good. Actually, the reason why I'm drinking a Gewürztraminer is it's technically a dessert wine. It's a German dessert wine, but the way that the sweetness plays with a fried turkey and like the savoriness of the turkey, and if it's spiced well, you know, the spiciness of the turkey.
The spice is what really does it.
It's a great compliment.
It is a compliment.
it's a nice compliment. The sweet with the fried turkey, which is actually, I have that in my write up.
Well, you want to do do your Gewürz. I think that's you'd roll right into it.
Okay, I'll read it verbatim. So the Gewürz is a sweet, dry white wine. Complements my favorite Thanksgiving dish, which is the fried turkey. It's usually the turkey is injected with a spice mixture that's heavy, or at least the way that my family makes it.
Right.
It's heavy on the Tony Sacheries, which is Cajun seasoning. And if you're listening to this and you've never had Tony Sacheries, find it at your local supermarket and put it on everything because it tastes great on everything.
I put it on potatoes, turkey, meatloaf. Good on meatloaf.
Ice cream?
No, not on ice cream. No, I don't put it on ice cream. But my kids like it too. They're always like, oh, I want some more. So it does. I got it all from your mother sent it up. So I have like seven of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's good at keeping me stocked up.
Yeah.
So the combination of the spicy tender turkey fried in peanut oil works well with the sweetness of the Gewürz. And then I grabbed the ale because I figured I will probably also be drinking some kind of beer on Thanksgiving. And the Omegang is a nice malty sweet ale. You know, again, something sweet to complement everything else that's going on. Because everything that you have at Thanksgiving is so generally savory, and you know, it's nice to pair that with something a little sweet.
Right. To eat, which is why I think that every Thanksgiving always has some sort of core of cranberry. Like it's kind of the sweet, sour, it goes well with the rest of the meal. None of which, when I look at like what's on a Thanksgiving plate, from the crazy stuff to the basic stuff, there's really nothing that's a sweet taste. It's,
well, but I mean, at the end, you've usually got like 87 different pies, right?
Right.
Right.
If you can survive the end, because when I eat a lot of turkey, I just get so tired. It's like tryptophan, bloop, I'm out cold. So there's
all these guys sitting around on the couches, like
just pants unbuttoned,
breathing, watching like some kind of random football game. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Who's playing? Okay.
Dallas. They play every year. Dallas. And they're just laying there drooling. Yeah, it's pretty much how it rolls. I mean, that's the compliment or the way you know you did it right is when everybody's in the living room passed out. You know,
it's really the ultimate American holiday, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. It's, like everybody gets as full as possible.
Gorge yourselves for like till you're sick, and yeah, I mean it's perfectly American.
Yep.
But see, I think you should try the Gewürz with it at a room temperature, because what I found is about a day later. Like I didn't drink it all at once. I left it out, and I just left it on the counter for the day, and it got rid of some of the sweetness, I think, from just sitting out. But it actually gets more spicy when it's warmer, because the cold chill seems to take a lot of the edge off. Which is, it's not a lot of edge, obviously, on the Gewürz, but it's for some reason it actually seems a little more spicy, and it made me, just drinking it by myself, want to have something spicy. Like some chili, or maybe, I don't know, just eat some Tony's right out of the casing. Just, but yeah, I don't know. I find it very tasty. That thing smokes a Chardonnay, which seems so flat compared to the Gewürz. Or,
oh, it of course it does. I mean, the sweetness of the wine is just, it makes it, you know, it makes it pop, as it were.
And
I just said pop. It makes it pop.
It does.
It's like salt, but it's sweet. It's just like pow.
And when I have a Chardonnay, I can't say I hate Chardonnay, but I highly dislike it. To me, the Chardonnay is like if you take a Granny Smith apple, you stick it in your mouth so like your jaw stuck open, and somebody just punches it right down your throat. Like that's my envision. That's how I.
You've had a lot of really bad experiences with food, haven't you?
No, dude. I'm like I told you. This just happens. It just comes out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Metaphor.
Yeah, it's a metaphor. But I'm just not a big fan. It's so soury sweet, where the Gewürz is so much better balanced in hot that it's just awesome. And the same, I have the same feeling of a Riesling, which maybe it's just the German grapes, even though a lot of them like are France. That is the same way. It's more refreshing. The Riesling's a little refreshing. I just bought another one that's very dry, like a super dry Riesling, which really well balanced, really good taste to it. It doesn't, the aftertaste just kind of, it's very smooth aftertaste as opposed to the crisp bite like citrus. So that's another good one if you're going to, and I'm bringing both a Riesling and a Gewürz to my festivities this year.
Nice.
I think it's awesome. But yeah, I would try that thing warm and see if it tastes any different.
I am going to take your advice and I am going to try it warm.
That's awesome. Let me just go through my eggnog because it's almost gone. There's really very little I can say about the combination of eggnog and brandy except for it's super awesome and it tastes like the holiday season. You know what it is? It kind of tastes like Christmas, but you throw a little nutmeg in there and for just a split second, it takes me back to being a kid with like no responsibility. Just sitting on the couch looking at the Christmas tree. That is like the epitome of a good eggnog. It's like,
is this just back when you were stoned and looking at the lights?
No, that was college.
Oh, right.
Different situation. And yes. That was probably not eggnog. It was probably just something hard alcohol.
Look at them blink.
You know, I know what it is, dude. For one of our holiday traditions for putting up the Christmas tree at my father's house was we put up, we have like a, what is it, like 11-foot tall tree. So it takes a while to decorate and put the tinsel on all that bullshit. But every year we did it, you flip on the Christmas music and you pour out the eggnog. For, I don't know, 10 years, whatever, however long, maybe longer. So you get into the habit of, you get that association. So when I have eggnog, that's what I associate it with. And even though it is Thanksgiving, you get that, the attitude is there. And then, of course, as a kid, I never had brandy in it, but now I'm now I just make it an adult drink. And I think it hides it good too.
I'm pretty sure that, I got Graham to spike mine when I should not have been having spiked eggnog.
You were really bad. Like if she spiked it, I was okay. Like that time we had something highly spiked and it was like insane amount of brandy. Like half and half. When the brandy's either floating on the top, well, sometimes it'll float on the top and the bottom, right? And you get the eggnog in the middle, and you're like, oh my God. And you know you did it right. So you get the, this is a little, if you mix it well.
So you know you did it right.
Right. I don't go that far out. I make it just so it's hot enough that when you finish the eggnog, there's a little burn, but you don't really taste the brandy because it's so smooth and it just, for some reason, goes well with eggs. I don't know why. Maybe you should put some eggnog in an omelet and some brandy and mix it in.
That sounds like the worst idea I've ever heard. Oh my God, let's put some eggnog with some egg in an omelet.
Well, it should pair. I mean, eggnog, egg. How does that not work?
I can't even think of a good analogy of how that's not going to compare or go well.
No.
It is like, yeah, it's why don't you put candy corn with real corn? Candy corn with corn on the cob. It's corn.
I'm just glad that I'm not having Thanksgiving dinner at Derek's house. Yeah.
What are you coming
to dinner? I tried something new this year.
Omelets. Eggnog coated omelets. Eggnog creamy center. Oh,
when brandy blew up and burned my eyebrows off, it wasn't that great. But
dude, brandy goes with everything. Yeah, so I Irished up my eggnog, and I'm proud of it. And you know what? If you guys put alcohol in your eggnog, do you guys have a time of day? Like, is it always a nighttime thing, or do you start out in the morning, opening your presents with some brandy and some eggnog? Like, is it like a Bloody Mary of drinks, or do you guys just drink it at night?
It's more of a night thing for me. It's more of like a party thing for me.
So you don't
like
do
you
it
go to a Christmas party and no, I have
you don't
eggnog.
Do it at home.
Oftentimes, I'll have eggnog just as eggnog, no brandy. I know, crazy talk. But
what?
It happens.
Mm, okay.
I like eggnog.
Oh, I do too.
I don't have very much of it, you know?
Well, I try. Yeah, that's the thing is, if I get like the little one, you know, the thin, I don't know, I don't have it with me here, but the smallest amount you can buy, like a half a gallon, whatever. What's a half a gallon?
A quart.
A quart. I get a quart of brandy a quart of eggnog, and that will last me through the season. I'll buy another one for when everybody comes over for the morning time on Christmas morning, but that's it. It's just, I don't drink that much of it. When I was a kid, I did. I drank all the time, but I was thin and like really thin, like 118 pounds. Now I'm 150, so it's a slight difference, but it's definitely something you got to watch out for because it's so tasty. Anything that tastes that good, you know, is going to kill you. Do you got something you want to do, Dave? You want to go get it?
Let me give me 1 second because basically they recommended to keep it in the freezer, so I wanted to keep it as cold as possible before.
You could just pull one of them.
Yeah, let me grab them. Hold on.
All right.
All right, I'm back.
Are you back?
Nice. I am.
What'd you get?
So I got the limoncello.
And so you're telling me this thing has to be frozen at all times?
Well, they recommend you keep it in the freezer.
Does it get all thick?
And they have frozen shot glasses as well.
It's exceptional. Very, 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 very cold. Very cold.
Which is usually a bad sign. It usually means that the stuff is going to kill you. But
right, because you're masking the death and the awaits.
Right.
So
the cool thing about limoncello is that so you can buy it at the store, which is obviously the easiest thing. But apparently, it's pretty easy to make too.
You don't use lemons.
Yep.
You just use sugar, right?
Well, it looks like it's based on either vodka or some kind of pure alcohol. The problem with pure alcohol is it's really hard to find, you know?
No.
What, like Everclear?
Yeah. Apparently, when you put the lemon peel, the rind into it, the higher alcohol content allows for more of the flavor to be extracted from the peel than a straight-up vodka might. But then you have to dilute it down afterwards, otherwise it's way too strong.
Yeah, that's true. You always get it. It's like vodka. You got to cut it 50%.
Yeah, yeah, basically, to get it down to, you know, 40 proof or whatever it happens to be. I think these are 30% alcohol. Yeah, so 60. And then once you do that bit of it, you add some sugar water into it, like simple syrup, and, you know, let it do its thing so it sweetens it up for you.
See, I have the Averna Limoni di Sicilia, which is, it's not a limoncello, but it's a lemon liqueur. Very, very strong lemon taste. It's actually made with lemons, like distilled lemons.
Lemon juice or lemon rind?
Lemons, like I think all of it. I can't give you the truth.
So limoncello or any of the variants of it, like I've got a mandocello as well, yeah, which is mandarin orange, but they make, you know, lime and raspberry and all kinds of other stuff, but they only use the rind of it.
Yeah.
Peel. They don't use the actual juice.
See, this one is at the point now where I can't actually get the top off. I'd have to get out a wrench because it's really sticky. That blows. I'm hoping to smell it.
So the cool thing about this, so when you pour it, it is yellow. It's kind of like
urine?
It's somewhat translucent. It's not exactly cloudy, but, well, let me take that back. It's cloudy, but it's got a little bit of translucence to it as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you can't see through the bottle, but it definitely passes light.
Right.
It's not like a... There is a cream version of this, which has, you know, like a milk base to it.
Galleries.
But, well, not so much, but it's supposed to make it more of like a creamsicle kind of flavor than this would have.
Well, hell, that's good.
I've also heard of a variant that has vanilla in it.
So can't you just put it in eggnog and you get a creamsicle?
You could. Well, the thing about limoncello is it there's a ton of recipes for it. I mean, you can mix it in with pretty much anything. Like, if you want to do a margarita or something and you don't want to use a mix, or you don't have fresh limes or lemons to squeeze into it, you can just basically mix this and tequila together. And as long as it's cold enough, it's pretty good.
And you can put it in champagne too. There's a champagne drink that we were trying to make once. I tried to make it with this, but it's way too sour because this is so distilled down to sour. It's not a sweet drink like a limoncello is. Which it makes a big difference what you think it is, and you put it in a champagne, and it tastes real bad. There's really nothing good about it.
So I just took a sip of it, and I got to say, when it's this cold, it's really dangerous because the alcohol part is really masked. So it just tastes like a strong lemon. But what I really wanted to try, and I haven't yet, is mixing it with some seltzer water.
Ooh, because nothing can go bad.
I've never even heard of that.
It's so carbonation.
Really?
It's a lemon soda, so...
It's Sprite.
It's supposed to. Okay, so I'm adding limoncello in, and I've got a nice bottle of...
Whoa, fizzy.
Ah, good sound effect. Seltzer. I'm going to mix that bad boy in.
So seltzer as opposed to tonic water? Whoa.
Doesn't that sound refreshing?
It does.
It did.
I totally feel refreshed, like I should go out and play a football game.
It does.
Now, is that... why did they choose that over tonic water? Which is it the salt, like the tonic water not have enough something, pizzazz?
You know, it's carbonated water is what I'm using.
Okay.
So there's no sodium in it or anything like that. I know there's all these different variants. It seems like the names are a little bit sketchy depending on what you use. I'm just using straight up carbonated water.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking of the seltzer versus club soda argument, where seltzer is just carbonated water. Club soda has additives, including sodium bicarbonate and stuff like that.
Man, you know what? That's really good.
Like, what does it taste like? Like a 7-Up?
It's like a carbonated lemonade.
Oh.
It's really refreshing, actually. So what I was hoping with the limoncello and stuff is, you know, again, something to kind of cut the grease, cut the heaviness of it, and this is really light.
Except for the carbonation will make your stomach explode, and out comes a 14-pound turkey.
Yeah, but it's not Thanksgiving unless somebody does a Mr. Creosote, you know? I hope everybody gets the Monty Python reference. So, yeah, good stuff. I mean, it's good straight up. It's a little bit strong. If you don't like lemon, obviously this isn't the drink for you. But
what do you put in? How much does it actually have a standard unit of measure for how much lemon jelly you're putting in with the seltzer water?
It doesn't. I just did roughly a shot and a half with probably, what, about 4 ounces of... So 4 shots of...
Yeah, that sounds about... I think that's normal. 4 to 1 or something. For a lot of the different mixed drinks that... Like even at like a mojito. You know, you're... with the mojito, it's a little different. You make the mojito, then you use the club soda to lighten it.
Right.
Which gives it sort of like a... It kind of tastes like a Sprite. Not exactly.
I actually gave this a little bit too much soda water, so I added a little more limoncello in.
that's the thing, though. You can't screw it up, because if you can, the balance can never really be off too much. You could either throw in a little more salsa or a little more limoncello, or you might have to sip a little or get a bigger cup.
Man, that is really nice. This is definitely a good drink.
You're not going to get drunk on it.
No. Well, you could over time. I mean, you have to drink a pretty significant amount. But it's funny. There's actually – limoncello has been in the news recently because I guess Danny DeVito went out one night and got annihilated on this stuff and showed up at The View the next day, and he was still drunk.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Yeah, nice.
So he was talking about it then. And apparently he has his own limoncello brand that he's going to be putting out there now.
Everybody's gonna go now that he showed up drunk. He's kind of got the spotlight on him, so everybody's gonna go out and buy that shit up.
Right. Oh, by the way, so the kind that I picked is called Sogno di Sorrento, which is made in Italy, but it's imported by this company that's based out of Boston, and they have a storefront in the North End. So good place to go over and check out if you've not been to Boston. North End is a great place to go for dinner.
Oh yeah,
don't go in the winter.
Why? You know. Oh, because they have the problem with the wind tunnels where it's just like. Like a nonstop wind?
No, just don't come here in the winter. It just sucks. It's cold.
Okay.
Until spring, it's much nicer.
I know. I went there and I think it was the summertime. I went down and went to one of the Italian restaurants there. I didn't get any limoncello, though. I wonder how that would be after a big spaghetti dinner or something. Like the acidics.
Know, normally, I usually expect like Sambuca or something like
that.
Yeah,
Sambuca and coffee, cappuccino.
Yeah, but I think this is kind of a nice alternative. I guess it's a little more summery than, it's not a traditional Thanksgiving thing, I think. I'm just trying to think outside the box a little bit.
No, you're going to, for Thanksgiving, I'm thinking sherries, ports, wines, like a dessert, a little sweeter red wines or white wines and any type of mixed drink, depending on how, you know, there are places where you just start cracking out the margaritas and you just go crazy. But a standard traditional family, it's probably going to be maybe a winter ale or something, you know, a little more barley based, darker.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is during dinner, I'll probably be drinking a beer of some kind.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like I think Coors I still Light. Some Oktoberfest of some kind left over. So I'll
a Michelite, natural ice.
Yeah. Natty Light. Actually, there are some people in my family who will invariably bring Coors Light cans.
Oh yeah, how they roll. That's my wife's side of the family. My father's side, this is how it works. Now, my uncle Jimmy will bring the Coors Light cans, and he'll drink my father's good beer. Traditionally, that's how it always went down. Whether we'd be left with all the. Actually, I think he might have taken his home after he was done. Yeah, I think what he did is he brought over. Doug, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he bring over like his own lower quality beers and then drink the good stuff and then go home with his? Or did he leave it? I don't remember. There was something my father was always caught on to that he was doing.
It usually revolved around the ingredients for the White Russians.
Yeah, the vodka. That was the other one. Because he'll come over, but he'll bring beer and he'll drink a couple, but then he like usually hits right into the vodka. He'll go through my father's entire milk and vodka he just White Russians all the way. All the time.
Yeah.
Don't know why, but that was his drink of choice. But he'd always bring the low end beers and then drink the high end stuff. That's as much drama as I got. I'm sorry. That's all I got.
It's not real drama unless the police are called. You
know? Yeah, that's true. We never had to call the police on them, I don't think. I was young at some time. Maybe they did early on. Hey, I got some fun facts from history.com I wanted to go through. According to the U.S.
Wait, I don't want to learn anything.
No, it's facts. It's more entertainment than learning. I guess you could retain it if you want to, but I'm not making any wishes or begging you to do that. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, Minnesota is a top turkey-producing state in America with a planned production of over 49 million turkeys in 2008. Just six states, Minnesota, North Carolina, Arkansas, Virginia.
North Carolina, solid number three.
Yep. Missouri, Indiana will probably produce two-thirds of the estimated 271 million birds that will be raised in the United States this year. You know what? If there's one thing you can guarantee, it's if you're a turkey manufacturer, you always get at least one day a year to kick ass. It's like batteries. Batteries, that's Christmas. For, you know, if you want to do batteries, you go Christmas. You want turkeys? Oh, they even get a hit on Christmas, I bet, because a lot of people do Christmas turkeys. You can't just have one day of the year you can have a turkey. You can do a Christmas turkey.
I was just thinking, outside of Christmas and Thanksgiving, have you ever, like, has your family ever made a turkey just for...
Yep, 3 weeks ago.
Really?
Yep. Turkey stuffing, Stouffer's, of course. in a cranberry sauce in a can. Whole works.
Nice.
I was preparing for, I wanted to get myself, my body ready. And actually, it was also a beta test to see how my kids were going to deal. Because, you know, it is something we don't have that often. Like, we'll have turkeys, mainly because it's good. It's a more healthy alternative to, like, beef. So, you know, the turkey's a leaner meat. So we cook those, but we don't normally produce a whole Thanksgiving dinner. But I think pretty much besides Thanksgiving, we usually try and do it at least once or twice a year in random times. Usually not summer, but, you know, some places spring near the winter time, just because it's something you can have more than once. Like, we do it all out, everything, all the ingredients, corns, mashed potatoes, the works. So, yeah, but I might be abnormal. I don't know. Duck, do you do turkey multiple times?
No, not turkey itself, but for a while before veganism was introduced into this household, ground turkey was consumed.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the vegan thing. That's messed up. Welcome to Beanville. Now, are you eating beef?
Yeah, just, you know, not during the week or anything. You know, it doesn't make sense to be cooking two different meals for two different people. So if I'm eating at home, I'm definitely eating vegan. If we go out, I'll eat whatever the hell I want.
So what did she do for Thanksgiving now?
You seem too perky. You might want to just kill yourself now.
Yeah. So I'm going to go and hero. So you guys have fun without me.
Damn.
So, yeah. She did say, oh, turkey. I was like, you got to be shitting me.
No turkey?
And don't get me wrong. I've got, you know, nothing against people who choose to do the vegetarian or vegan thing or whatever, but just tofurkey just seems so wrong on so many levels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And she was like, I think I'm going to cheat. I think I'm going to have mac and cheese. And I was like, how are you going to cheat up with mac and cheese? You might as well just go and have, like, real turkey. And she's like, no, tofurkey. And I was like, oh, my God. And then I was all, you cannot have macaroni and cheese. You can have turkey, but I will not forgive you if you don't eat turkey and instead you have tofurkey. God, fucking weird.
See, just I don't understand
and
that.
Wrong on so many levels.
I couldn't give up that. It's weird because a lot of the diets that me and my wife have gone on have usually been turkey chicken, like, as opposed to, like, more red meats.
Yep, yep.
Like, to the point where I remember last year when we were doing our diet things, she went on longer because she always hates on me for it, but I lose weight a lot faster and can keep it off easier. I don't know. I have a high metabolism and I'm not female.
Being a guy.
Yeah. And so what she would do is every week I cooked up a turkey and cut it up. And we would just a whole plate of turkey, put it in the refrigerator, and she would make turkey sandwiches and turkey wraps and whatever. My favorite is just turkey on flat, open-faced turkey, gravy poured over the bread. That was the way I, you know, if I have leftover turkey. But
how can you go wrong with that? I mean,
right. She doesn't heat up the turkey. She eats it cold all the time, and that's it. She just eats turkey. And that worked fine. But to go anti-beef and anti-chicken and anti-meat, I can't do it, man. I couldn't even do it. I would rather go Atkins than I would rather go full force in the opposite direction. I don't know. That's just me. But
yeah, for me, it's more like, you know, I can understand it and I, you know, I have nothing against it. In fact, if I could do it, I probably would consider it. But I don't really feel the need to eat things that look like other things for no obvious reason.
Right, right.
Like, if you're going to eat tofu in some form, you know, have at it, whatever. But to make that look like a turkey, why? You know?
Yeah, it's weird. It's pressed and it's textured and it's just...
Yeah, I've seen veggie burgers that look just like hamburgers. And
I eat veggie burgers all the time. It's fun. But I don't like the ones that try to look and taste like beef. I like the ones that taste like, you know, a veggie burger. They taste like something different, you know?
Right. And it's the ones that are like, you taste like beef, but it's really vegetables. Well, then make it taste like vegetables.
Right.
Why would I eat? It's like saying, I want a hamburger, but I want the hamburger to taste like a veggie burger. Nobody ever does that. You eat hamburger. Can you make my hamburger taste more like bean and celery? No. Just eat it. But, yeah, man, I... So
let me get back to you on that.
Now, are you guys
You'll have to have a full report of the tofurkey.
What do you get? Are you having a Thanksgiving at your house, or are you going to the families?
Families.
Okay, so she's got to bring along her mac and cheese, or they're catering for her.
No, mac and cheese, I'm sure, will be there. It's a staple. It's a staple.
With cornbread.
With them.
Okay. I mean, that's cool. But everybody else is going to eat turkey. You get turkey, right?
Yeah, I get turkey.
All right. I'm looking out for you. You didn't choose to be vegetarian, which is another thing. In our family, like when Jennifer goes on her diets, there are certain things she doesn't like, or she likes, but she won't eat, like chicken pot pie. Not really healthy for you. She likes it, but she won't eat it. She'll have something else. But she cooks it for the rest of us because it's different in my family because I have two kids. So it's not just, you know, it would be awkward to take and make two meals for two people. But when you can have three people eating the meal, then you can have something else and it's not so weird, you know. So the kids and me will have the pot pie and she'll have whatever she has that's low carb or whatnot. And that seems to work out. But it's only every now and then. Normally, she just eats smaller portions of whatever we're eating. But that's not like because she eats meat. So it's not a big deal. You just have less meat, not no meat. That's just fucked up.
Well, look, if you ever think it's a pain in the ass, I've got a friend who has celiac disease. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically, it means that your body can't process wheat gluten.
But right.
It's an allergy, okay? And it's a really, really severe allergy to a point where he uses basically a separate kitchen from his wife and kids.
Ouch.
So they don't have any cross pollution of any utensils or anything like that.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
That's depressing.
Yeah, that's a big pain. So
that would not be any good. I would not be happy with that. But what are you going to do? You don't want to die.
Right.
Right.
Hey, check this out. In another survey conducted by the National Turkey Federation, that's right, there's a National Turkey Federation, probably got one person in it, nearly 88% of all Americans said to eat turkey, are 88% of Americans said that they eat turkey on Thanksgiving. That's not, that means there are people out there that are eating something else. The average weight of a turkey purchased on Thanksgiving is about 15 pounds. Yeah.
They're eating Chinese food.
Ooh, well, you know, I could do that. Which means about 690 million pounds of turkey are consumed in the U.S. during Thanksgiving. In 2007.
Hold that thought, because Doug brought up a good point, the Chinese food thing.
I like
now,
Chinese food.
I remember
food,
when I was younger, we used to go out after Thanksgiving sometimes for Chinese food. Christmas
pause,
Day.
Pause.
That's awesome.
Wait, you tell me you ate Thanksgiving dinner and then you went out for Chinese food.
Yeah, it was a great boy, you know.
That's
so
fucked
we
up.
Would do like Thanksgiving early in the day, and then, you know, you'd go out at night. Chinese. You'd get like a poo-poo platter or something really sketchy looking at a truck stop Chinese kind of place. Because they're the only things open, right?
They're not open
anymore. I don't know what happened, but it used to be that on Christmas or Thanksgiving, you could always count on the Chinese place being open. Doesn't happen now.
Yeah, see, Chinese... I have had situations where on my mother's side, I got too many freaking sides in the family, but on my mother's side, they did Thanksgiving dinner around 2 or 3. So by 7, man, you're like hungry again.
That's
so
what I'm saying.
If you hosted the party, you've got plenty of turkey leftovers, and sometimes you'll bring some home with you if they want to force it on you when you leave. But overall, yeah, you're looking for a meal, which seems like an awkward thing on Thanksgiving. I like Thanksgiving dinner at around 4:30 or 5. That way, you can eat until, like you said, you're about to throw up, then eat a little more, and then you can digest. And by around 9, 10, 11, you can have some nachos, and you're fine. And I think that's the way to roll. Because I can't, man, you eat a whole Thanksgiving dinner and then you go for Chinese, you are packing on the calories that day.
No, it was more like, you know, we would eat at 1 or 2 or something. And then you're right, by 8 or 9, you're feeling kind of peckish, you know?
But, you know, realistically, Oriental food, American Oriental food, not necessarily the most filling of foods. Kind of empty.
MSG for the win.
Yeah. Oh, here's one. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, the largest pumpkin pie ever baked weighed 2,020 pounds and measured just over 12 feet long. It was baked on October 8, 2005 by the New Bremen Giant Pumpkin Growers of Ohio. It included a 900-pound pumpkin, 62 gallons of evaporated milk, 155 dozen eggs, 300 pounds of sugar, 3.5 pounds of salt, 7 pounds of cinnamon, 2 pounds of pumpkin spice, and 250 pounds of crust. Now, let me tell you, that is something you can eat after a good Thanksgiving. I wonder how many calories are in there. 155 dozen eggs. That's a lot.
That's freaking huge.
I know.
It's not a pie.
12 feet long. Jesus H.
Yeah, that's about the size of one of those Subway sandwiches that you get on the corporate meetings where they have the big ones. No, that's
Subway. Eat fresh.
Hey, look, they're not even a sponsor. So yeah, I think that's.
Yeah, did we get any cash for that?
No, unfortunately. But that's a big ass freaking pumpkin. 900 pounds of pumpkin. That's lit, which is.
Speed. It is. Actually, you know, though, I will say that if we were to get corporate sponsorship, I would assume, at least from my end, it would be from a beta.
That's true. I'll have to call them up and tell them, hey, we'll sponsor you. No problem. $25 an
episode.
They don't
even need it. No cash required. Send me beer.
Send beer.
I'm already drinking all your beer.
I know.
You know.
I think I might have a lifetime supply of tequila. But that's...
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. They said, oh, if you run out, just let me know. Like, okay.
And I might be busting into Derek's house.
I'm out. I got to go through this Bordeaux before I finish the bottle. Am I close? Oh, I'm about halfway. Here's the deal. I'm a big fan of wine. We don't do a lot of wine on this show, mainly because of Dave. And I think that's really
sure.
It.
Blame me.
I'm going to blame you right now. See, I just did. No, there's a lot of alcohol. So we'll cover some wine in the future. But this Bordeaux, if you don't know what a Bordeaux is, let me read the label here. It's pretty basic. I'll read the ingredients. This is the varieties of grape in a Bordeaux, or at least this one. 100% Merlot. Boom. Done. Deep ruby purple. All right. That's it. You're looking at the difference between a Merlot and a Bordeaux is new style, old style, France versus California. I guess you can make a Merlot. They have them in New York, too, in Australia, other places. But the Bordeaux is going to be, I don't know, this one is a 2006. It's a little dry. Not as fruity as you'd assume. Like, if you're a big Merlot drinker, this is a great change-up if you just get bored drinking Merlots over and over again. And what I've done is I drank some Merlots. I've tried different ages. I've tried decanting. Then I moved on. I did some Pinot Noir. I've done some red, like a Zinfandels. And what else did I do? There was a couple other ones, a Cabernets. You know, all the reds that I could find. This is a little different than those because a lot of those are new age wines or new world wines that are a little more fruity. Like the Pinot Noir, I found to be a different type of fruit. And then for me, like the Gewurztraminers and are a little peachy. They get a peachy taste to them. This.
Oh, hold on.
What?
Really?
You didn't think so?
I'm going for it. Hold on.
Give it a try.
Shit, I'll give you that. You can. In the bouquet as well.
Yep.
Definitely peachy.
It's a peachy wine.
Like, but not like real peach.
No.
But kind of like synthetic peach. God, that's
like a dried peach.
I love that.
Sorry.
See, that's why we need to be drinking the same shit when we do our podcast because we can be, you know, drinking something like, hey man, do you taste burnt rubber?
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, I do.
You smell bread. You're having a stroke.
just like that. No, I would have done the Gewurz except for I had the Merlot open and although I don't mind round robining, I thought that it would be good to have the eggnog covered. But I drank the Gewurz Demeanor just 2 nights ago. That's where I'm getting those flavors. I remember it was a little sweetness, but there was a peach on the nose and it was a subtle peach. Like you had a look for it, and it's not sweet like a peach schnapps by any means. It's just present in the wine. Now with the Bordeaux, it's more earthy, like mud or dirt kind of like aromas. Not and of course if you drink wine then you understand what I'm talking about. If you don't drink wine, you're like, why the fuck would you ever drink anything that tastes like dirt? It doesn't taste like dirt. It's just like the aromas and what it tastes like and how it makes your brain envision different flavor profiles. So it's also got like a leathery kind of taste to it. It's a smooth wine, but it's just there's cherries and a little plummy, but not very much. It's you really have to know to go in looking for cherries to be able to find the fruits. It's not a lot of alcohol. Let me see what the alcohol rating is on this, because it's not, it's just well balanced. It's a kind of dry finish. Oh, 12.5. So it's not too bad. Definitely under your table wine. But you don't taste the alcohol. You taste more of the earthy tones and the cherry and a mixed with like a leathery tobacco kind of explosion, but nothing intense in the fruit palate, which is kind of different. So if you're used to drinking Merlot, this gives you something different to think about, because you can still get a lot of those flavor profiles in a Merlot, certain brands. But if you don't know what you're looking for, like if I don't say, hey, you know, do you taste peach in there? You wouldn't get it, which is why one of the reasons that I'm gonna set up a wine tasting to go to in some place, either Boston or maybe Nashua or whatnot. I'm gonna bring a couple friends that I know drink wine. I'm gonna check my wife too. It's gonna be awesome. She always makes a face. Like Rob, one of the other guys, the guy that actually started this podcast way back. Him and his wife got into wines, I'd say maybe 6 months ago, and my buddy Don and his wife drink wine. His wife's Italian, so she's been drinking wine probably before she was legally supposed to. And I think that all of us together, going as a group, you can kind of talk about what you taste, and you probably be able to pull it out a little better. Because a lot of the stuff, like when you screamed out, I think it was the sake or whatever, and you're like, Bazooka Joe Bubblegum. Now, that's not necessarily something everybody's going to taste right away, but once you taste it, it's like a signature, and you now can taste it again and again.
Yep.
I like that.
You know how you had tobacco in your flavor profile for your Bordeaux? All right. So I was at my buddy Doug Also's house for his second semi-annual brew festival.
Right.
And one of the guys that was there brought some homebrew that his father-in-law made. Okay. Now, being somebody that homebrews, I know it's not very difficult, and I have never had a bad batch of beer. And I say this leading up to this beer that this guy brought had a very, very interesting taste profile, in as much that it tasted like Copenhagen. You know, dip? Copenhagen? Yeah. Copenhagen dip? I don't know if you guys have ever tried Copenhagen dip, but if you did, that's what this beer tasted like. Because I'm like sipping on the beer, I'm like, you know, it's not very good, but it tastes, what the fuck is that taste? And I kept sipping it, and it was irritating me because I kept having to drink this not good beer to figure out what the hell it tastes like. And then it was like, Copenhagen. And then I was like passing it out to everybody. I was like, have you ever dipped Copenhagen? Yeah, try this. Tastes like Copenhagen.
So if you like Copenhagen, then you might like the beer. Probably not.
Nobody wants to drink that shit. Are you kidding me?
So what?
There's a reason they spit it out, right?
Exactly.
So what is the?
You do not.
What did he do wrong? Do you know? Can you tell what happened to the beer?
No, I have no idea. And that's the thing about having bad homebrew. Like, I've had other batches of bad homebrew, and I'm tasting it. I'm going, how? What did you do? How could you mess this up? This isn't difficult. You get a recipe. You follow the recipe. Make sure all your shit's clean. You're gonna get good beer. How do you do this? I don't know. It drives me fucking nuts when I have bad homebrew.
And you can't tell what they like. What went missing? Like, if you have a, let's say you have a recipe for, I don't know, cinnamon buns. I don't know. If you didn't add sugar, people are going to know, oh, there's no sugar in here. Right. There's no dough because it's like, or there's no yeast because it's like, looks like a mushroom, or it looks like a, no, it looks like a pancake. You can't tell with a beer what went wrong.
No.
I mean,
no,
I can tell a bad beer when the first way is when it explodes on you. But the second is usually you could tell if it's skunked, right? You could tell if it's just bad. But you're saying right. Not it didn't go bad. It was never good.
it was never good, which is the killer for me is, you know, he poured it out. It had a great, nice, dark color to it. Actually, I should have asked him what it was supposed to be in the first place.
So that would have been nice.
Maybe it was supposed to be a porter. I don't know. but it had, you know, it had a nice dark color to it. It had really good carbonation, which for home brewers, if you're a home brewer and listen to this, you know, sometimes it's difficult to get good carbonation, especially if you're bottle conditioning. So it had good carbonation, it had a good head, and then I tasted it, and the only thing that I can think of is he tried to introduce some kind of adjunct that
dip
for whatever reason just didn't work out. Either that or he, like, you know, popped in some Copenhagen and was like, ooh,
now, did he know?
Chew beer.
Did he know it was bad? Did he come over and go, this is what a bad taste like, the bad brew batch tastes like?
No, and that's the thing. I don't understand how you could possibly bring homebrew, you know, out and be like, hey, you know, I didn't make this. My, you know, father-in-law did, but try this homebrew. No, you don't bring that out of the house. That's embarrassing.
So he doesn't even know it's bad.
I would hope not.
Did you tell him?
I'm not that guy.
So you didn't.
Anyways, just call me up next time.
I wish that I could have positioned it in a way that I was like, oh, this is, you know, and this for a homebrew, you know, has a nice color, has, you know, really good carbonation, has a nice head.
You focus on the good things.
Tastes like Copenhagen. It tastes like Copenhagen. Yeah, hard.
That's the problem with people is, since he didn't brew it, it might not matter. But if you don't tell them what you don't like, I mean, you don't have to say, like, this tastes like ass. But if you don't tell them what they could have done better, then they're not going to learn. They're going to make another shitty brew year after year. You ruined it for everybody in the future.
I understand that. But I'm in another problem is neighbor, home brews. I have no way of figuring out how to tell him, like, the last beer that he gave me was just awful. Awful.
Yeah, got to point out what he could... I think it would be great if you did this. I don't know, clean your equipment. I don't know.
You could put it in the form of a poem or something, like, you know, roses are red, violets are blue, your beer sucks ass, and so do you, or something.
No, he's a really nice guy. And anyway, so...
Just a suggestion, you know?
I'm sorry, but that was just a big, long tangent on, you know, flavor profiles with tobacco. I have actually had a beer that tastes like chewing tobacco.
That's awesome. Not really.
No, not at all.
There's a difference between tasting something going, I can taste the tobacco. It's different from saying, this tastes like.
you know, what would be a polite way to phrase it? You could taste it and say, well, it's better than Miller Chill.
It's better than Bud Light with lime.
It's better than the Bud Light Clamato.
There you go. Which you could buy at Cumberland Farms, which is a small convenience store.
By the way, have either of you had that?
No, but it's right next to the 40s at the convenience store.
There was a can of it at the Doug Also's Brew Festival that I was just speaking of. I had had it before, and it was going around there, and somebody walked up and was just like, oh, you know, I have this. It's really good. And I was like, no, fuck you. That's awful. Anyway, so you guys should go try it.
So you can know what doesn't taste like beer.
Reminds me, have you guys tried that new Budweiser that came out?
The ale?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Is it any good?
It's not bad.
Wow.
And the same goes.
It's surprisingly not bad, but I will say the most interesting thing about that, or about the taste of it, I know that they used the malt, but it still has that crisp back end taste that defines Budweiser.
The
you know,
Pilsner.
You drink the Budweiser, and it has that crisp dryness on the back. That's as a result of their brewing process as well as using rice malt.
Right.
It is somehow they have retained that taste characteristic in this ale.
So that's good. That keeps the signature.
Yeah, I was very impressed that they were able to do that with this particular beer. It had nice hop presence in it, kind of the more fruity floral. I would think of. They say Cascade. Yeah, it tastes like they have Cascade hops in it.
Can you define for the audience the difference? What's the Cascade? Which one is that?
Like, Cascade, is grown in the Northwest, Oregon, Washington State. It has the almost grapefruity taste and smell to it. It like if you have like the Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale, it tastes very grapefruity. It, you know, they just use a ton of this particular kind of hop, so it's very, you know, it's floral and fruity and citrusy versus like, let's say, a Saaz, you know, which is a more of the, you know, flat, not so floral, just bitterness, which you would like find in a Pilsner.
It says here on Wiki.
I think that Saaz was.
Yeah, Wiki says that Cascade was, I think it was established, the cultivation was around 1972. Aroma of Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, one of the three C's, along with Centennial and Columbus. Named for the Cascade Range. That's pretty. So, yeah, it was actually developed at Oregon State University Breeding Program in 1956.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of...
Shit, I knew more about that hop than I realized I did.
Well, the taste...
And yeah, the Saaz is used in Pilsners.
Now, have you had... I've got to try these, but have you had the Michelob Craft series yet? Any of the craft series? They have a whole bunch of them now. They got a whole craft pack. I really want to pick it up and see how they did. I hear it's pretty good.
I've tried the Porter. The Porter is pretty good. Yeah, you know, but at the same time, I wouldn't expect that Miller or Budweiser would put out a product that wasn't going to be okay. You know what I mean?
The thing is, these like around this time of year is when all these seasonal packs come out, where you get a 12-pack that has all these different types of beer that the brewers don't usually do. Like, they just kind of experiment with them. And I've had some pretty bad experiences with some of these.
Well, these are brewmaster packs. They're what they're doing, it seems to be they're going with they're trying to make themselves into a microbrew layout, like making a side business out of competing with people like Sam Adams and any of the companies that are doing really a successful business doing the image of microbrews, even though obviously Sam Adams is a large company. There's an industry out there for this, and I think they're trying to get back into something that's a little more classic, a little more to the roots of German beers and in English ales, where they're trying to say, you know, we don't just make these watered down beers for everybody. Here's the next level. And they all seem to be doing it. I don't know who started it, but it's like Budweiser's falling through, Michelob's falling through. They're all making their craft series or the Brewmaster series. Even Sam Adams has a Brewmaster series. Mm-hmm. It's like they're trying to bring back the old style brewing techniques with these huge companies. And like you said, I don't think they're going to do bad. I'm curious to see how well they do, because they have everything. They have the resources. Budweiser is fucking huge now, right? Yep. They have all the resources, all the scientists, all the chemists, the money, everything they need to make the best beer in the world. Not just the best beer for the common, you know, football playing, you know, sponsored everywhere. This is the king of beers. I'm talking like flavor, not just the same beer they've been making since the early 1800s. Like really good beers, all different recipes. Porters, ales, pale ales, all the different things that go along with it. Stouts. They can do all that. They have the resources, and I'd like to see them actually go down that road.
Yep. It would be interesting.
Do you want to tell me something about this Omegang Abbey Ale? Then we can get the Mandicello in here.
It's malty. It has a hint of the Belgian yeast flavor to it, you know, where it gets a little sour. You see, though, but I enjoy, or at least with the Belgian ales, I think that there's enough of the sweetness of the malt to counter it well enough. Whereas with the blondes and the whites, the whites,
the Weiss beer,
there's not enough balance to it.
Very filtered.
I can't do it. But it's nice. It's fruity. It has a good bitterness to it.
So you got your hops in there too?
Not so much. It doesn't have a huge hops presence.
No,
which is nice. I'm dark cherry. Yeah, cherry.
And that's a high alcohol, right? Like 9, 14, something like that.
Only 8.5.
Oh, 8.5.
Which is funny, because the alcohol content of the beer is almost as much as the Gewürztraminer.
What's that?
I want to say the Gewürztraminer, huh?
I thought that was like 12.
No, I want to say it's 12. 12.
All right, yeah.
I saw another one out there that it was like the alcohol content was 10. I was like, Jesus.
That's pretty low for a wine.
It's very low for a wine.
14, 13s, those are your standards. And 12 to 12 and a half, that's a good table wine. Anything above that.
And then you get your...
You're heading into
cents, which are, you know, upwards in the 15 area.
Yeah, that gets a little intense. But you're going to feel it's going to be very hot. This is Omegang for, I mean, Omegang 8% is pretty high. Not necessarily for an Abbey Ale, because I remember when we went through Abbey Ales and just Belgian Ales in general, we had a lot of high alcohol content ones. And that's cool. It's just, I know Omegang for their alcohol content. They're one of the, like the, I think there's a Dogfish Head has a bunch that are in the higher alcohol contents as well.
Yep.
So you get a kind
yeah.
Of a
the
cherry.
Dogfish Head 90 is 9. The 120 is 12.
That's a little out of control.
Which is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, that's cool.
Or at least getting into the realm of ridiculousness.
So you've had Omegang before, or was this did you just pick it out because of the label or something?
No, I've had their beers before. I enjoyed all of their beers that I have had, but I want to say that I've had the Abbey Ale, the Three Philosophers, and I think there's one other that they make that I've had, but they make a few different ones. I actually prefer these over the Duvels, personally.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I like them. I can't say I go out and buy an Omegang. Like, I've never done that. If I go over to somebody's house and I want to bring them a beer that I know they'll appreciate, then I would buy that. It's like a Sam Smith in cost, and except for it's made here. So you're gonna get a little more local brew taste to it. And I think it's a good beer. It's just, for some reason, I don't buy it myself. I usually end up with some sort of Sam Adams or something that, with it. You know what it is? If it's not a standardized beer, I go for either something that I've never heard of before or something with the coolest fucking label I can find. Like, if it's got a really badass label, I'm in. I'm all about that. Same with wine. Like, I bought the Vampire wine because it was called Vampire wine. How could you? Vampire Vineyards. Dude, that's the shit, right? Now, great. The wine wasn't really that good. It was very flat and okay for an $8 or $7 bottle. You know, if I had a rate, I'd probably say I'd probably give it like a 75 out of 100. But still, it was okay. But the bottle was kick-ass.
This is kind of nerdy, but I actually saw a port when I was doing the stuff on the port last time. It's called USB.
That is pretty nerdy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like the universal serial bus, Dave?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
You want to, you got the Mandocello? You want to grab that?
Yeah, sure. I've got it here, actually.
Oh, sweet.
God, I really wish I could be there and try that.
I know,
Mandocello?
Dude.
Mandocello?
Yes.
You know what? I'm a really big fan of mandarin oranges. The ones in the cans are really tasty. The juice, everything about the mandarin orange is so super sweet, but different than oranges.
Yeah, but remember that we're talking something that's made out of the peel, not the juice.
That's okay. It's got alcohol in it.
All right. Let's take a
hit of that. Did you fix the spelling of my Gewürztraminer in the show notes to have the the double dot over the U?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
I have a Mac. It's very easy. I type option U, and then it puts the double dots. And then I just put the letter. It's
okay. So
awesome.
The Mandocello is by the same company as the Limoncello. They're actually the same. They sell these little bottles, which are kind of cool. They're let's see, they are 200 mil, and they're $10. So pretty good deal.
Oh, sweet.
The orange doesn't smell that great to me.
Oh God, don't say that.
It's orange, but
I
want to
love
like,
this.
Super orange, I guess. It's kind of weird.
I want, dude, you don't understand. I want to like this drink. I don't even have it. So, okay, wait. So do you think the smell is more like a Grand Marnier? More
no,
like a triple
not at
sec?
All.
No?
Nope, not at all.
Okay.
It's like a...
So it would be like...
Jeez, how do I describe this? If you mixed orange with like something chalky.
Okay. Chalk.
Yeah, that's kind of where it goes.
Oh, like orange baby aspirin?
Oh
no.
Well, that would be chalky, dude. You can't deny that.
Yeah, that would
that.
Be chalky. I guess it smells
Dude,
like,
I could
yeah.
eat orange
you know
baby
it
aspirin
like
all day
that
long.
Ought to taste.
Dude, huh? totally. Baby aspirin. All
that
the
didn't
way.
Make any sense. It does smell a bit like that. But, okay, oh. so, but tasting it, hang on. Yeah, you know, it's weird where the limoncello, it's really lemony. This, I don't get the same kind of flavor. Like, I expect it to taste like orange, and it right. just kind of doesn't.
What's it taste like? It should taste like mandarins just fucking punch you in the grill.
Yeah, it should. Like, the limoncello is really strong lemon flavor.
It should punch you in the grill.
This has got a little bit of a sour overtone to it, almost.
It's not up in your face. Like, wah!
No. It's...
like narwhals.
It's kind of not good, though. You know what? I don't think I like this.
What?
I wanted to like this.
Dude, I wanted you to like it. Damn it. You gotta be kidding
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's not, and I like orange stuff, you know? It's just, it's not this, the lemon really comes through. It's like strong lemon kind of flavor. This doesn't taste like an orange to me. It tastes like just something else. And, okay, I made a same kind of deal with the soda water.
Right. Now you're not gonna taste anything but soda water. Inside.
No, you can taste whatever this is that isn't quite orange.
So
it really actually shines through.
Artificial orange, like a chalky artificial baby
aspirin. Yeah, but it's not.
Orange.
It's a thing. It really is made out of orange. You know, it's just...
No, I know, no. But yeah, they just ruined it.
I'm just wondering if, you know, maybe there's something about the lemon that makes it carry through better than the orange. Like the orange seems to...
They're both
something
citrus.
Happens to it. It denatures or something.
But that you think they're so close in... Is it geniality? I don't know. Like it just seems like they would have this. They would.
Yeah, they're both citrus.
Right. They
yeah,
should
sure.
both punch through. They're acids. They should be like, blah, I've got you. You're eating your face. I got you right in, you know, like right, right under the jawline, right where you get that bite. It's like
I just did it in your ear.
It's like,
yeah, I guess it's just what I expected to happen didn't happen.
That's weird. Because I was.
Isn't it?
Because what I was thinking it was going to be more like. I was thinking it was going. You ever have the can of mandarin oranges?
Yeah.
Just like, and you get the juice, and you drink up the juice. I was thinking that, but with alcohol in it. Like that and vodka.
Yeah, it's not that.
Like mandarin
all.
Vodka.
It's more, you know, in fact, the smell of it is less orangey than, I've had an orange vodka before. That smelled more like orange, and that's fake.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Hmm. So it's not fake, but yet it tastes like it's fake, which is not good. I wonder what realistically, it should be just like the other one.
I would think, yeah, and that's what I expected. Same company, same bottles, you know, same kind of, you know, similar fruits, but it just doesn't work. Lemon's great, orange not so good.
I'm sad for you. So how big is the bottle? Like
it's
100 ml?
No, it's small. It's 200.
That's bigger than what I said. But
it's 200 ml.
I mean,
yeah, 200 ml.
200 ml is tiny.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, yeah, but I guess 100. So by 200 ml is like. That is like four nips. I think a nip is like, what, 50 milliliters?
Probably.
Yeah, so four. It's enough that you can, you know which one you would buy again and which one you wouldn't. And you can throw the other one out without
feeling
bad.
The same company, they make, like I said, that cream-based limoncello, which I think would be fun to try.
Yeah, totally.
But, yeah, the orange one, and they also make like a raspberry one and something else, and I don't know if I'd try those now.
Yeah, you're right. Because you know what it might be? Limoncello has been, you know, limoncello is not a new thing. These other ones sound like they might be spin-offs. Like, oh, we could do that with anything that has a rind.
Right.
No. Fail. We're going to make I don't know, like a, what's another, not a pumpkin. But there's going to be something that has a rind that's like a, what are those green, honeydew. You could have like a honeydew. That would be tasty.
I bet lime would be good.
Lime. Huh? Well,
but I don't know. You know, it's just, I am disappointed. I mean, I looked at it and went, ooh, orange. I bet that's really good. And it could just be my palate that it's disagreeing with. It could, you know, somebody else might try it and say, wow, that's really good orange, you know, but it's just not coming through for me. It's something else and it's something not good.
I don't think I'd like a lime, dude. I don't know. I've had lime rinds when I tried to make a margarita, a lime mixture once. And, you know, it's just like, I don't know, it's not as, I can't see lime being
maybe
a good
that's
thing.
That's it. Because you use lemon rind in cooking all the time.
Right.
You know, it doesn't, you know, it has the smell and I guess roughly the flavor of what you're expecting. But have you ever eaten a chunk of orange peel before?
Not on purpose.
It's pretty harsh, right?
Yeah, it is, actually, yeah. I've had, like, a real orange, not a mandarin.
And lime is
orange.
The same way. I mean, the lime peel is just not very good. So I wonder if it's just that lemon really lends itself to this, whereas the others don't.
Right. If I bite into an orange, like, here's the deal. I bite my nails, right? It's been a habit I've had since I've, I don't know, four. So, for me, I can't actually open an orange. So, if I don't have a knife, I have to bite the thing, because my teeth are sharper than my fingernails. And when you bite into an orange and you peel it back and the spray hits the back of your throat, oh, man, that is like upfront in your face orange. It's not the orange you're expecting. It's full concentrate, everything about that orange right there in your grill.
Orange oil, which smells fantastic. But
sure,
it tastes,
smells great in pledge. But you know what? Don't think I want to eat anything that I use to dust off my furniture. It's just great because aromas have no problem dispersing through the air, but when you put that in your mouth, not the same thing. So I can understand, you know, it may just be a palate thing. You're not trained to like it, but you know what? What I'm envisioning it should taste like and what you're saying doesn't make any sense.
I realized I'm using the wrong word for – they don't actually call it mandocello. They call it mandarello.
That kind of sounds a little weird.
I mean, I'll keep it around so people can give it a shot, but
See what other people think.
Yeah.
Oh well, I was kind of hoping that was going to be like the grand finale of awesome drinks. You really let me down.
Hey, you know what? It's one of those things though, where you look at it in the liquor store and you go, "Wow, that looks really tasty." And sometimes you bring it home and it's great. Like, I don't know if I mentioned this, but recently I picked up a bottle of Godiva milk chocolate caramel liqueur.
Of course, that was going to suck.
Oh my God, is this good stuff?
Yeah, I could. It's
totally sweet. I mean, it's not like you can have very much of it, but it's really, really tasty.
Put it in your coffee, though. Irish that sucker up.
Yep.
Do you guys go to the liquor store lately? Have you noticed the, I don't know, do you have liquor stores in North Carolina?
Yes, we have ABC Package Stores.
Package Stores? Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. Have you seen, this is great, I love this time of year. When you go in, because I've actually spent probably about $200 in alcohol just on the video podcast. Raspberry liqueurs, I had some Baileys, just crazy shit, limoncellos, lemon vodkas, raspberry vodkas, stuff I wouldn't normally buy, but I now have I have like two full bars. But when you go down through the aisles, did you notice the amount of things that come with cool shit for free? Like boxes of like, I got my raspberry, it's a, Raspberry D'Amore, which is one of the companies I have my amaretto from that was not really that good. But there's not a lot of raspberry liqueur. So I looked at this, raspberry liqueur, whatever the price was, I can't remember. But whatever it was, there was one right next to it in a box with two awesome-looking shot glasses, same price.
Well, remember, dude, it's close to Christmas.
Exactly. Dude, you don't understand. I want to buy all kinds of cool, crazy shit for people now. I go in there, I'm like, oh, look at this. I could totally get this. There was one of them I totally saw Doug. I was like, that's Doug's. I don't remember what it was, but I'll just go back in there and maybe I'll get that for you. I don't know. But whatever it was just super awesome. It's got glasses with cool shapes, things that look like crystal trees and like five shot glasses of canteen and a tin and a shaker and then alcohol too, all for the same price as the original.
Shot Girl in a box?
A who?
Shot Girl?
No. Oh. There's no.
Oh, in the box?
Yeah.
In the box.
You can get a girl with a box, but not a not a packaged. No,
box in a box.
No, but the stuff is there's super awesome stuff out there that's the same price as buying just the glass itself. I don't understand how that works, like how they're making any money off that. I guess they're just drawing me to buy something I might not normally buy, but I guess it's a good way to get you attracted to that liquor and then come back later after the season and just get the regular one. I don't know, but I was just so surprised to see how much it's taken up all the aisle space, just boxes of cool stuff with trinkets inside of it. I was impressed.
I want five of them.
Whatever it is, just give me five. I'll buy them all.
Yeah, five.
Let's, I want to kick through three myths and then we can roll this in. So here's a myth. The first Thanksgiving was in 19. No, that is not a myth. The first Thanksgiving was in 1621 and the pilgrims celebrated every year thereafter. Fact, the first feast wasn't repeated. So it's not really a tradition. If you don't repeat something, it's not a tradition. They just sat down and ate food, right? In fact, colonists didn't even call the day Thanksgiving. To them, a Thanksgiving was a religious holiday in which they would go to church, thank God for specific events, such as winning of the battle or whatever. On such a religious day, the types of recreational activities that the pilgrims and Indians, I don't know, what does it say, Wampanoag? Let's say Wampanoag. Wampanoag. Do you know? Can you speak Indian? I think it says Wampanoag.
I can hardly speak English.
I think it's
no. Yeah, go with Wampanoag.
Okay, Wampanoag Indians participated in 19. why do I say that? In 1621, harvest feast, dancing, singing secular songs, playing games.
Crazy yeah. train.
None of these things can happen because they're very religious. So the feast was a secular celebration. It would never really be considered Thanksgiving in the minds of the pilgrims. So I think what we do now, as Dave would put it, eating until we're about to throw up, not exactly a pilgrim-style event. We've 21st century-ed it, I guess. We did something.
Well, yeah, we added football.
We added football. We added extra food. Yeah.
And our turkey has the cool thing that pops out when it's done.
That's right. Dude, no pilgrim had something where they could just see a little pop out and go, up is ready. These guys probably had to cook this over fire, like real fire.
As opposed to the fake fire that we burn shit with now.
Right, exactly. Oh, and here's another myth. The Mayflower
was...
When's
the last time you microwaved a turkey?
You don't do that. Don't do that. Please, if you're thinking about microwaving a turkey for Thanksgiving, don't do that. Do what Dave does. Eat it with cranberry sauce in a can.
That's myth. Right. In fact, just pop the top of the can. Don't even pull it apart.
No! Could just eat it right out of the can. Dish. Just get a spoon. Go crazy.
It'll sit right on the TV tray nicely.
Totally. With your what are they called? Thanksgiving, the turkey that you get?
Growing up,
Hungry Man.
Serious, we didn't eat at the table. We ate on TV trays watching TV.
Shut up. I did that too. But I grew up in the same style family. The Mayflower was headed to Virginia, but due to navigational mistakes, it ended up in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. That's the myth. The fact, the pilgrims were in fact planning to settle in Virginia, as Doug has said, but not the modern day state of Virginia. They were part of the Virginia Company, which had rights to pretty much most of the eastern seaboard in the United States. The pilgrims had intended to go to the Hudson River region of New York State and would have considered considered North Virginia, but they landed in Cape Cod instead. Treacherous seas prevented them from venturing further south. That seems more like a realistic scenario.
Yeah, and many lulls were had upon their arrival.
Yes. Lol.
50% mortality rate. Go God.
I was just thinking of it. Did you guys, I know I'm a few years older than you, but did you ever play the Oregon Trail?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And like, regardless of what you did, it's like half the time you die of cholera or some other horrible disease on the way out.
Yep.
Exactly.
Good time.
This is a sucky time to be a Virginian. Another myth. The original Thanksgiving feast took place on the fourth Thursday of November. Fact, the original feast in 16...
Fact, it happened on Black Friday.
No.
These dudes were at Walmart and turkey was on sale.
50% off, bitches, 15 pounds. No. The original feast in 1621 occurred sometime between September 21st and November 11th. Unlike modern-day holiday, it was 3 days long. Unlike modern-day holiday, it was three... Why is it there? The event was based on English harvest festivals, which traditionally occurred during the 29th of September. Dude, there you go. You wouldn't have a Black Friday if your holiday was 3 days long, dude. It would go until Saturday. No Black Friday. Would have been Black Sunday instead.
Black Sunday.
That would be bad. God, shopping holiday. Yeah. Okay, well, forego it because of baby Jesus. We're going to go with Black Monday, which makes more sense to me. I would be into Black Monday because nobody really likes Mondays a lot. So that's a great time to go out and go shopping. I'm not a big fan.
Hold on. Was that? Wait. Steely Dan song. Is it
FM?
Black Monday? No. Not FM.
Black Friday?
Is it Black Friday?
I don't know. Steely Dan Black Friday. Black Cow? No, Black Friday.
It's Black Friday.
Yeah, it's a two Against Nature. That's on the DVD. Yeah, I could totally see that. I actually have that in my iTunes.
Is it off Two Against Nature? Really?
No. I think it's on the DVD, Two Against Nature. But no, Black Friday is an old song.
Yeah, it's very old.
Yeah, Two Against Nature.
Sorry, guys, I just had to throw my headset across the room when I heard Steely Dan. So
you don't like Steely Dan?
I can't stand it.
Really?
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 Dude,
why?
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. It just irritates me. Something about it.
If I could pipe my audio through my through Skype, I'd totally send you Black Friday right now.
Thanks, appreciate it.
How can you not like Steely Dan?
How can you not? That's weird.
Very, I don't know, white bread to me. There's something about it.
Just because you ate cranberry sauce out of a can. Dude, these were perfectionist musicians. They were like the epitome of awesome. They did everything right. They were ugly, but they did everything right.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they were bad musicians or anything. I just don't like the music.
It's because of the elevator music aspect of it.
I think that's what it is. It's just it's very polite.
Okay, what you need to do is you need to get high.
It's not polite. It's polished. There's a difference.
It is polished. Very polished. You need.
It's
you,
like Rage Against the Machine.
What?
They're Rage Against the Machine. Their first album, Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Is unbelievably produced and polished. Like,
but they're not Steely
super
Dan.
Polished. No, but I'm just saying, you know, you can't equate polished with elevator.
No.
I mean, no, polished and produced music is polished and produced music. You know, it's definitely not punk.
No, but if you know what? If you're going to make an album, your first one should be as polished as any of them because that's the one that's going to get you on the charts. But I love Steely Dan, but yeah, I have to be in the mood for Steely Dan, no doubt. Like, there's times where if I'm on the road, I want Disturbed. I want, like, Down with the Sickness. I don't want, you know, FM or what's another good Steely Dan song? Deacon Blues.
Peg. Blues.
Yeah, you know, nice. I want something that's really going to get into your brain and just want to make you kill somebody. But if I'm, you know, at work, just doing a little programming.
And that's when you travel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Road rage.
I'm going to take a business trip with you, bub.
Oh, I'm a crazy driver. But that's the way that gets me home faster. If I listen to Steely Dan, it takes me two times as long to get home. Because I'm like all chilled and relaxed and I just want to, like, you know, rock out. And no, you know. And there's other bands that have taken that, like Percy Hill and stuff, that have taken those aspects and built their own music out of it. I'm a big Steely Dan fan, but I feel sorry for you, Dave, because I know you're a musician and you should totally be like a big Steely Dan fan.
You know, it's weird. There's like, I have a friend who has fairly similar interest to me musically, and he's a big Steely Dan fan as well. And he's tried, and I don't know. It really irritates me.
Don't worry, my wife hates him too. Well, not hates him, but she'd rather listen to something else. I've tried, because the only person I know that can appreciate Steely Dan with me is Doug, and you know, you get a few drinks in us, and we can sit down and listen to Steely Dan, no problem. But you kind of want to appreciate it with the wife and people around you all the time. But I guess I'm lonely, which is good for Steely Dan type music.
Music recommendation: Vampire Weekend. If you guys have not heard them yet,
Vampire Weekend.
Yeah.
That's the band's
Vampire Weekend.
Name?
Yeah, the band name is Vampire Weekend. Do not let the band name turn you off, because it sounds more goth than what it actually is. Think Paul Simon, Graceland.
Oh,
and
I like
that
album.
African
that
influence.
Is the best album ever from Paul Simon. I'm not a big Paul Simon fan. There's a couple Paul Simon songs I can like, but Graceland, full album, is just fucking epic.
Right. So think that when you go in to listen to this band. Excellent.
Okay.
Or at least
can I get it on Amazon.com?
Probably.
I wonder if they have a DRM free one in iTunes, because I have an iTunes gift card I got for at a sales conference. I'll have to check out. All right, that's cool. I'll got it bookmarked. Let's see, any more myths? No, I think I got them all covered. I think that's it. That's all I got. I'm spent.
I think you should just start making up some like really random shit about Thanksgiving and just be very emphatic about the fact that you're right, and see how much hate mail you get. It could be a fun game.
Yeah, I get enough hate mail as it is with my gaming blog. The last thing I need is to get one with alcohol people. Because you know what? These people are very passionate.
Do you really get hate mail from the other podcasts?
Oh, yeah. No, not the podcast. Just the write-ups. See, what happens is every now and then my articles get out on gamingpodcast.net, get out on like n4g.com, which is they seem to be a high concentration of Sony fanboys. And if an article gets out there, I know, because I'll get 30 or 40 emails like how I am the I should never write again. I'm the worst writer ever. I have no idea what I'm talking about. My facts are all wrong. And you're like, dude, this is right from the company's website. What's wrong with you? No, you're a liar. You're just a sellout. You work for Microsoft. I'm like, what? It's pretty bad. So I've seen a share of hate mail over the years. And really,
yeah,
I just,
a lot of gamers, their sole purpose in life is to talk shit.
Right.
I mean?
And they're very vocal about it. Where most, besides that original Rum podcast with the one Rum guy that was really into Rum, I've never had anybody say anything bad. I did get an email today asking about some margarita tips, so I answered that one. But you know, no one's ever been very negative, so I'm happy about that.
Well, people are happy drunks in general.
Yes, this is true. Alcohol makes people happy, usually. Those that aren't, they're usually arrested. So I guess that's all I got. You want to wrap it up?
You can wrap it up.
All right, I'm gonna wrap it up. Ready? Here we go.
Are you gonna wrap it up?
I'm gonna.
Wrap it up.
This is Derek for Dave, Doug, and unfortunately not for Kate, but maybe next time. And our podcast producer, Luke Lydahl, you've just been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers. You can find us at everydaydrinkers.com. Pretty soon, everydaydrinkers.tv. I'll be setting that site up. Not yet, though. And
Empire expands.
Empire is always expanding. Next podcast, I'm going to try this. I've put this on Luke to figure out, but he's like, he wants to be in another podcast, okay? Now, the problem is Luke only drinks chick drinks, so we have to somehow go to his level just for one episode or two. We have to come up.
I got a bottle of butter shots. Seriously.
Maybe we could do some sort of weird schnapps style thing. He wants to do one on pucker. Now, I put it on him. He's going to find us some pucker recipes. He's like, no, you can mix pucker with anything and make a recipe. I said, no, that's not acceptable. You have to give us some good pucker recipes. I bought pucker. Luke, if you're listening, since you will be, since you have to edit, I bought pucker. I have a small container pucker. I'm ready for him to give me a recipe so I can try it out and send it to you guys and say, you guys got to go out and buy pucker. It's like $7. It's a little less than going to a movie. We got to get in there and cover pucker. The problem is I don't want something basic. I don't want pucker because everybody's just going to say, tastes like apple. No, we need something complex, some sort of cool recipes for it. And then we'll do that episode and Luke can explain all the greatnesses of pucker. That's fair, right?
So it's what, about a 10-minute podcast?
Oh, we'll find a way. Dude, we can always find a way to push it out. I mean, 2 hours for Thanksgiving. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. We can usually milk it.
Yeah, we can milk anything. We can do a podcast on eggnog, no alcohol, and we can make it awesome.
I have nipples. Can you milk me?
See? We can do anything.
Get on your hands and knees. Let me try.
Great. I think I just blew snot into my wine. Thanks. Oh, you bastard. All right. I'm going to stop this thing because I think we did it. Oh, yeah. I got some Lemoni di Sicilia here. It's not the same. You still there, Doug? Doug's not there. I'm all by myself. Myself.
No. I didn't realize that I had been muted this whole time because I was coughing. Damn it. Now I got to cough again. Hold on.
Cough.
Son of a bitch.
See?
Anyway, so while you went, no, I was going,
the standardized intermission. That's the standard intermission.
Yeah, it should be.
You know what I need? I need to find some way to get that damn drip off my wine. Always one drip. They should shape them like a spigot.
You can wrap a paper towel or a towel around the neck.
Yeah, but
that usually works.
That's like you really have to be thinking ahead. I'm not a really big ahead thinker.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Well, that and I'm upstairs.
You can always
so I
work on that.
I could. Is that semen? No.